sun has set, the darkness deepens, and the world awaits midnight. Good evening. Once again, this is your host, Graves. Oh, it's good to be here. I nearly didn't make it to tonight's program. I was at the hairdresser's getting the latest perm. And the attendant forgot all about me. The curling machine nearly twisted my whole body into a pretzel. Now, I've been so scared that my toes have curled, but this was too much. When the girl came back, I was blowing smoke rings, and I wasn't smoking. Of course, she apologized, but I got back at her. I set her styling dryer on kill. Will her next customer get a surprise? But enough of tonsorial torture. Let's get on to tonight's story. Tonight, we meet a real ghost, one who frightens an old man out of his wits. After all, that's what ghosts are supposed to do. But then a young scientist gets into the act and spoils all the fun. Here's the first act of The Lascar's Hand.
Paranormal Research Institute. Dr. Bennett, just a moment.
Metaphysics section, Robert Bennett speaking.
Robert, this is your Aunt Elaine.
Aunt Elaine, how are you? How does it feel to be an American resident again? I've been meaning to call you, but I thought I'd let you get settled in first.
Yes, it takes a while to get used to things after being away so long.
How long was it? 20 years?
22, actually.
Oh, must be hard to readjust.
Oh, I'm doing all right, but your uncle, he's...
He's having trouble?
Well, in a way. That's why I called you.
What's the problem? How can I help?
Well, I'm not really sure. He's worried about something. He doesn't sleep well, and he's agitated. But when I ask him about it, he won't tell me what's wrong.
Well, that doesn't sound like Uncle Joseph. He was always pretty open about things, especially with you.
Yes, and that's why I'm concerned. It's just been since we returned to America that he's begun acting this way.
That sounds like a readjustment problem. Why not call a psychologist?
Well, because somehow I don't feel a psychologist could do any good. Last week, in an off moment, Joseph said that his problem was something only you could understand.
Me?
Yes.
But I work with spiritualists, mediums.
That's what I said to Joseph. But he only said again, Robert would understand. That's all.
Uncle Joseph always discounted my work as ghost chasing.
Yes. But he was quite earnest when he made that remark last week.
Well, if it'll help, I'll come out and talk to him.
Oh, I was hoping you would. Could you come soon?
How's tomorrow?
Wonderful. Thank you, Robert.
No problem. You practically raised me when Mom and Dad were so ill. I owe you a lot.
We'll expect you tomorrow.
I'll bring along one of the other people from the Institute, Carolyn James. She's also a psychologist, just in case that is what Uncle Joseph needs.
Fine. Oh, and Robert?
Yes?
Don't be upset when you see Joseph. He's changed. Quite a bit.
Thanks for coming along, Carolyn.
Not at all, Robert. I need a little vacation from the lab. Although I didn't think we'd be coming this far out into the country.
Uncle Joseph and Aunt Elaine bought the house many years ago. When he decided to take on the hospital in Bombay, the rest of the family used the old mansion as a retreat on weekends. I haven't been there in almost 10 years.
Retreat is the right word. We've been driving for 2 hours.
Yeah, we're almost there.
How long was your uncle the resident at the hospital?
22 years. The Indian government hired him for 3 years, but he became so well-liked that they pleaded with him to stay. And he was glad to do it. He's a dedicated, conscientious doctor.
Oh, is that the house up ahead?
Yes.
It looks gloomy.
You're right. It does have a haunted look to it, doesn't it? Funny. I never thought of it that way before.
Thank you for coming, Robert.
Not at all. Aunt Elaine, this is an associate of mine, Carolyn James.
How do you do?
Hello. This is a very interesting house.
Thank you. Robert, before you go in to see your uncle, I must tell you something.
Yes?
Last night, he couldn't sleep. He said he was going downstairs to get something to read. But he was gone for nearly 20 minutes. And then I heard him cry out. I went downstairs and finally found him crumpled on the floor of the library.
What?
I helped him back to bed. I tried to get him to tell me what was wrong. But all he would say was, Robert will understand.
Well, let's go in and talk to him.
Joseph, Robert is here.
Hello, Robert. I'm so glad you came.
Robert, he looks so haggard.
Yes, he was always so healthy. It's good to have you back, Uncle Joseph.
I wish I could say it was good to be back, Robert, but it isn't.
Aunt Elaine said you thought I might be of help. So what is it?
Robert, I am haunted.
Oh, Joseph.
Yes. I tell you, I'm being visited by a ghost.
Uncle Joseph, you always thought ghosts were a figment of the imagination.
I know. And I thought your investigations were flights of fancy. But I know now you are right. There are such things as ghosts. And I am haunted by one. I've seen it.
Joseph, this is ridiculous.
Uncle, you've always been the most pragmatic man I know. You never believed in anything until you saw it for yourself.
Besides, ghosts, as most people believe them, really don't exist. We've been able to trace the evidence of spiritual manifestations, but no one has ever been able to see a spirit. At least no one we haven't been able to expose as a fraud.
But I have. I've seen this one every night for the past 3 weeks.
You didn't tell me that.
I didn't want to worry you, my dear. But I thought I could deal with it. But I soon realized it was beyond my powers to do anything about.
But not beyond mine. Is that what you thought?
Yes, Robert. I hope you can find a way to help me out of this.
But how?
I don't know. I only hope you'll be able to find a way to rid me of this apparition. During the day, I worry about my sanity. For at night, when this thing comes to haunt me, I suspect I shall soon go mad.
Well, we'll see what we can do. When does it appear?
On the stroke of 2 every night. It appears to me in the library.
Were you in the library the first time it appeared?
No. The first time I was in bed. I woke up suddenly and seemed to hear a wailing sound coming from downstairs. It almost seemed to be part of the wind outside. I thought I might have left a window open. So without waking Elaine, I went downstairs. All the windows were shut tight. But as I entered the library, the wailing became louder. And then the ghost took form in front of me.
This wailing, does it continue?
Yes. I tried to get it to speak, but it merely kept up its unearthly dirge.
How long did it continue?
I don't know. It might have been only a moment. But I was so frightened, so amazed, I thought it must have stayed for hours.
Did it do anything, or just stand there?
I remember it looked at me closely, almost as if it was making sure of my identity. And then it began to circle the room. When it came to some trunks in the corner, it stopped.
Stopped?
Almost as if it wanted me to open the trunks.
Did you?
No, I couldn't. I was riveted to the spot where I was standing.
What then?
It gave one last moan and then vanished.
Did it vanish while it was near a window or a door?
No. It was still standing at the trunks.
Any curtains nearby?
No. Why?
We once exposed a fake spiritualist by proving the ghost she manifested had actually disappeared behind some draperies in the room.
You don't think this is a fake?
I don't know. If it is, it really must be a good fake, if what you say is true.
It's true. Every word.
And it's appeared since then?
Every night at the stroke of 2. I hear the wail and come to the library. And there it is.
The same actions every time?
Yes. It appears, goes to the trunks, wails, and then disappears.
Obviously after something in the trunks.
Yes. Uncle, did you open the trunks after the first appearance?
Yes. I looked through all of them the next day.
What was in them?
Just some souvenirs of Bombay and some old relics and specimens from the hospital.
Did you put them back?
Yes. I had no place to display them.
Could be.
Yes. Uncle, if there is an apparition, We want to see it.
Yes.
Will it still come if you're in the room?
I don't know. But if it does, we'll be able to tell if it's real. Or if someone is playing an evil trick on you.
Who would want to play a trick on us?
I don't know. But we always assume a rational explanation for apparitions until we eliminate all possible logical explanations.
What do you want to do?
Carolyn and I will stay in the library tonight after you turn in. All you need to do is act as you have before. When you hear the wail, come into the library and stand where you always do when it appears.
Very well.
And what about me?
It'd be best for you to stay in your room, Mrs. Bennett. We don't know what may happen if the spirit is confronted with more humans than necessary.
I don't know if I can wait up there while you're facing whatever it is.
Nevertheless, I agree with Carolyn. Wait upstairs.
Very well.
And Uncle Joseph?
Yes?
Keep your wits about you. If this is a real spirit and it finds us spying on it...
Yes?
There's no telling what it may do. You?
Yes, just trying to get comfortable.
It does get cramped behind these chairs, doesn't it?
What time is it?
Almost 2.
Lucky there's a moon tonight. There's enough light to see without turning on the lamp.
Yes, that would scare away a ghost.
Or someone pretending to be a ghost.
Mm.
I wish it would hurry. I'm about...
There, 2 o'clock. Now we'll see if our ghost will appear.
Listen. It's coming from the middle of the room. But there's nothing there. If this is a trick, it's a good one.
I hear Uncle Joseph coming down the hall.
I'm here. Where are you?
Robert, look!
It's taking form. In the middle of the room.
All I see is a robed figure. Can you see its face?
Yes, I see it. Or what seems to be a face. The features suggest an East Indian.
What do you want?
It's going toward the trunks.
But we emptied the trunks out before dinner and put everything in the cellar.
Apparently he doesn't realize that yet.
Yes, I understand.
What's your uncle doing?
I told him to open the trunks. If the ghost sees they're empty, maybe it'll leave.
The spirit's looking inside. Its arm straight up in the air, like it's going to strike your uncle.
Carolyn, look. Look at the right arm. It has no hand.
You're right. Just the stump of an arm, cut off at the wrist.
Wait. It isn't going to strike him. It's gesturing to the stump.
Look. It's pulling back the shroud over its face.
Yes. I see clearly now. Definitely Indian.
Your uncle, he's seen it too. He seems to recognize it.
No!
Your uncle's fainted.
Come on, Carolyn. I want to get a closer look at that spirit.
It's leaving!
Quick, get between it and the door. I'll block the window.
Robert, it's dissolving!
Right in the middle of the room. It's gone.
Check the floor.
No need.
I guess not.
I have to admit it. If ever there was a real ghost... That was it. How's Uncle Joseph?
He's quiet. Now, will you tell me what happened?
It happened just as he said, Mrs. Bennett. The wail, the materialization, everything.
Except this time, Uncle seemed to realize who it was. That's why we've got to talk to him.
Yes, I think he wants to talk to you, too. But not too long. He needs rest.
You sound just like a nurse.
I was, for 37 years.
Uncle Joseph?
Robert, you saw it?
Yes, Uncle. It was a ghost.
I know. I know now it must have been.
What do you mean?
It was the Lascar.
Lascar?
An Indian sailor, usually of lowly birth.
Which Lascar, Joseph?
The one whose hand I amputated. In 1963.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about it.
He was brought into the receiving room. His hand was badly mangled. Caught in a winch, they said. I tried vainly to save it, but it was no use. After 3 days, it was quite clear that it had to come off.
The poor man. He was terrified.
but not as terrified of the operation as what would happen when he died.
I don't understand.
The Lascar explained that one of the tenets of his religion held that all parts of a body must be reunited after death in order to make a perfect dwelling for the spirit.
Yes, I've heard of that belief. The ancient Egyptians mummified their royalty for somewhat the same reason, didn't they?
Yes. Well, he wanted his severed hand to keep. I said it would be much safer in my care than his. I would preserve it carefully for him so that when he needed it again, it would be available.
That sounds almost comical.
Oh, it's gravely serious to the people of that religion, I'm sure.
Indeed. I stored the hand in a jar of formaldehyde and kept it on a high shelf. It may have been just a quirk, but I felt I owed it to the Lascar, who had trusted me so fervently with it.
So that must be what the ghost was looking for in the trunks.
Undoubtedly.
Except it wasn't there.
What?
No. A year before we returned to America, there was a fire in my laboratory at the hospital. Nothing very valuable was destroyed, but the bottle which contained the Lascar's hand fell from its shelf, broke open, and the hand was consumed in flame.
So it was no longer available for the Lascar when he died.
Which he obviously has done.
Then that means...
Yes.
What?
Without that hand to offer the ghost, you may be haunted forever.
Oh, no.
But can't anything be done?
I don't know. But I know where we might find out.
Where?
The Institute. There might be something in the research library that can help us.
How long will that take?
I'll run a search through the index computer. Maybe it can find some reference in the ancient literature files. It shouldn't take more than a day or two to find it, if it's there.
And if it isn't?
Don't worry, Mr. Bennett. We'll find something.
We'll have to.
Why?
If that ghost discovers his hand is destroyed, he might get very angry. He might do anything. Carolyn, here it is.
Did you find something?
Yes. I thought I remembered something like this. It's in the interpretation of the Thoth scrolls Dr. Lurens found in the Egyptian burial site in 1928. Listen. Earthbound spirits are often obsessed with retrieving personal possessions that have a strong emotional attachment. The offering of the object or a reasonable facsimile will often suffice to release the spirit from its earthly attachment and allow it to pass easily to the netherworld.
A reasonable facsimile?
Right.
Who are you calling?
Dr. Lansing, over at the hospital. He has lots of Indian patients. Maybe he can... Hello? Dr. Lansing, please. Thank you.
You don't mean that you're going to ask...
Yes. If we can obtain another hand, same race, and preferably the same sex, the ghost may accept it and leave Uncle Joseph alone.
Robert, that's ghoulish.
In a way. But if it works, what an exciting experiment we'll have concluded.
Hello?
Dr. Lansing? Robert Bennett at the Paranormal Research Institute.
Oh, hello, Robert. What can I do for you?
Doctor, this may sound a little like grave robbing, but I have need for a human hand.
What?
It's for a very important experiment, Doctor. It must be from an East Indian, preferably male, amputated directly at the wrist bone.
Well, that's one of the oddest requests I've ever had. And even odder, I happen to have a hand that might do.
You have?
Yes, took it off an Indian yesterday. It just got through biopsy, and we were about to cremate it.
Don't! Is it right or left?
Right.
Perfect! May I come over and get it?
I suppose. There's no chance of restoring it to the poor wretch who lost it. You'll have to sign the usual forms, of course.
Thank you, Doctor. We'll be right over. Lansing's got a hand. Let's get over there and... Bennett speaking.
Robert?
Aunt Elaine, what is it?
You've got to get out here quickly. The ghost was here again last night.
Yes?
And it almost killed your uncle.
What happened? How's Uncle Joseph?
He's resting. He said that when the ghost appeared to him last night, it was very angry. It started throwing things around the room and then attacked Joseph.
You were right, Robert. The ghost is becoming dangerous.
We've got to try the experiment tonight. It may be our last chance.
Experiment?
Robert found an old manuscript that said we could rid Mr. Bennett of the ghost if we provided a substitute hand. We got one from a hospital.
You think it will work?
It has to. It's our only chance.
It's worse.
the other night.
What?
The waiting.
It should be here soon. It's almost two. There.
It's here.
Good. Uncle Joseph will be down in a minute, carrying a hand. He'll offer it to the ghost and we'll see what happens.
There he is. And the ghost is materializing.
Here. Here is your hand. Take it and be gone from here.
It's looking at the hand closely.
Yes. I hope the substitute will do.
Look. The hand is growing faint. It's floating over to the ghost and attaching itself to the arm.
The ghost is accepting it. He's whole again.
It's worked. It's dematerializing.
I think we've done it. Oh, Aunt Elaine, that was delicious. Whoever thought of having curry for breakfast?
It was wonderful.
We had it often in Bombay. I guess customs die hard.
I'm glad they do.
Speaking of dying hard, I don't think you'll be bothered by that ghost again.
I'll admit, there must be something to your investigations, Robert. They certainly turn up information of practical value.
I'm glad we could help.
I'll get it.
And we did actually see an apparition we can document. That's worth nearly as much.
Robert, it's for you.
Me?
Yes. A Dr. Lansing.
Thank you. Hello, Dr. Lansing?
I'm sorry to bother you, Robert. The Institute gave me the number. There's something I think you should know.
What?
The hand you took.
What about it?
The fellow I took it from died this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But as he was dying, he made mention of his religion and that he must be whole to enter eternity.
What?
Yes, his last words were, "Where is my hand? Who took my hand?"
Like Robert may have his own ghost now. What a thrill! Imagine having a nightmare every night, even when you're not asleep. That's enough to make you cut off your own hand. Lascar's Hand was written and directed by Roger Rittner. Featured in the cast were Michael Vernon, Isabel Lee, Sandra Snow, and Art Dutch. Also heard were Glenn Shaddix, William Irwin, Virginia DiOria, and Bob Farley. Sound effects by David Surtees with Mark Trella. Production assistance by Bonna Newman. Engineering by Gil Jones. Midnight is a Roger Rittner radio production. Now, until we meet again, this is your host, Graves, reminding you that wherever you are, it may not be midnight now, but it soon will be.